Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hi, this is Sarah Marshall from Kent Memorial Library.
And this is Courtney Sahelis from the Millbrook Library.
How are you, Courtney?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Today we're talking about partnerships.
Yes, yeah. I was like, I saw the topic for the show, and I'm like, how long do we have?
Yes, seriously. Yeah, that's sort of, it keeps us going. Why don't you, do you have a list, or do you have a favorite, or how do you want to even start?
Yeah, I think I have like three major ones, two that are pretty well established and one that we're excited about kind of strengthening and developing this year. So the first organization that we primarily partner with is the Millbrook Arts Group, and they're a local group that really focuses on the arts. So they've been a great partner in helping us plan like great kids performances, like multicultural events. We just did our Lunar New Year program with their help, and we have the Arm of the Sea Theater coming in April to do a show about soil, which we're very excited about. So they are not just like a great planning and organizational partner, but they also help us out with funding, which is super helpful.
Wow.
And we just recently redid our gallery space with their help and started this new project, the Millbrook Arts Project, which is basically like a, let's say, sophistication of our gallery space.
Nice.
Which is very nice. We also partner a lot with the Millbrook Rotary. So we partnered with them for their New Year's Eve Millbrook event. We brought the bubble bus, the glow-in-the-dark bubble bus over there, which was really fun. And we also are partnered with them for the community fridge. So we have a community fridge in our library that people can access. No questions asked. You can just come in, take stuff. People can donate things.
Oh, wow.
And we're very lucky where we have a lot of local people and organizations that will contribute to it.
So is that in lieu of a town food bank or just in addition?
In addition, we do have a food pantry at Lyle Church, which is right up the street from us, but they're a little bit more limited in their hours, I think. And when
ours too. It's only like Friday mornings. I'm thinking, what happens if you have a job?
Yeah. So that's where this idea came from. We saw there was a really big need for food in the community and hoped that this would make it a little bit more accessible for people.
Is that a regular refrigerator, or is it like a walk-in, or is it like a commercial glass-doored thing?
The best way I can describe it is it's a kind of like a drinks refrigerator.
Okay.
So like the front is glass and you can see inside. It's like what you would see like in a deli or something for drinks. But it holds a decent amount, and it was so popular that we actually added shelving next to it for, like, non-refrigerated items.
Wow.
Which has been really great.
That's great. Now, you must have space dedicated in the library for that.
Yeah. It's right when you walk in. It's kind of our side entrance, but it's the one that most people use, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, like, near the circulation desk, but not within view, so people don't need to talk to anybody if they don't want to. Which is pretty nice.
Right.
And I know we're coming up on the 2-year anniversary of it, and we're partnering with the Rotary for their Day of Service, which I believe is May 10th, and we're going to have a birthday party for the fridge. So it's going to be a family event. People are encouraged to bring, like, donations. We're going to have some games and some crafts and stuff. So
that's really,
really
neat.
Fun.
What a lovely idea.
Yeah, they're great partners. And then the third one, which we're pretty excited about starting on a step up this year, is with the Millbrook Farmers Market. So there's plans this year to have a children's tent at the market each weekend, and we're going to be there for, I think, at least 11 of them with different events and activities and crafts and story times and things like that.
Oh, that's
so
lovely.
I think we would try to get to the farmers market at least once a month, and this year we're really ramping it up, and they're excited, we're excited. I think it's going to be really fun.
Wow. Those are neat ideas. Well, I'm trying to,
about what you're doing.
I'm trying to prioritize my list because we really do. I mean, we're like you. If anybody comes in and says we'd like to do this and we'd like you to help, generally we say yes.
Yes.
probably the most frequent flyers is actually an organization that's based outside of Kent, but we've become their foothold. So Literacy Volunteers on the Green is an organization that comes out of New Milford. And they have, it's an entirely volunteer, tutor-based space. I think they must have one. They must have at least one paid employee, one or two, for the coordination. But they offer free tutoring to anybody who's coming and needing to learn English. I suppose even if people were native speakers and just needed help with literacy, general English literacy, they could get that too. But the way it's worked out is it tends to be, we've seen really only non-native speakers coming in, but we're sort of like an outpost of them. And we see 6 or 7 different tutoring groups every week. So, and what's fun is the differences of the different tutors and the different patrons who come in. They've developed these really lovely relationships, including we ended up hiring one of the students here at the library, and have developed such a great relationship that we went down to his wedding in Mexico just last month, because when you are tutoring someone, you really do develop a nice friendship and a connection. So that's been great, and that keeps it's one of the efforts of our board is to make sure we're reaching everybody in the community, and this is an opportunity to reach out to the non-native speakers and be a safe place where they'll come in and they'll meet their tutor, but then they start to understand all the other ways that a library can serve them and can help them with whatever it is that they're needing help with. And it's just a way to bridge that that divide. A lot of people who come from other countries may not have as strong of a library system as we do here, and it's just cultural differences, and it's been a wonderful way to connect with people who are new to the area and or just struggling with mastering English. So we work with them all the time. But as far as other partnerships, I mean, there's really quite a list. We work really well with Sharon Playhouse, and we kind of share marketing materials with them, and they share with us, and we work on helping them publicize their events. Every summer, usually it's Labor Day weekend, we offer a nonprofit carnival and invite all the local nonprofits to put up a booth, and we have them set up, games or some sort of fun thing that's going to attract people to their booth. But what it really is just an opportunity for them to get their message out there, whatever their mission is, recruit volunteers, develop interest in their programs. It depends every year on who can show up, but it's a huge range from the Land Trust and the Historical Society to the Lions Club, the Fire Department. It could be the Little Guild of St. Francis came this past year. That was really nice. Usually Kent Park and Rec. It's any organization that's out there serving the town is invited to come. And what happens is, because we've made those connections through this event, when it comes time for us to ask them to partner about something else, we've already got those relationships. I feel like that's so much of what we do as libraries, is build relationships both between individual people but organizations. And maybe we have the carnival and we know people, but maybe they didn't know each other. Maybe the Little Guild didn't realize that if they were also engaged with the Lions Club, that they could work together on other projects. So that's been wonderful, is becoming that hub of connection. And of course, that's what libraries do, and we've been really happy to serve as that connector piece for the town. My list is so long. It's funny, we partner with businesses too. We have an independent bookstore here in town. I think you do too. We actually order all of our books from the bookstore versus the big library suppliers like Baker and Taylor to support their business. They give us a discount. It's a little bit less than maybe we get from Baker and Taylor, but we'd rather support a local business than some big conglomeration. Little things like that. Any opportunity to build a bridge, we're working on building that bridge. So I don't know what else to say other than we're almost always willing to work with the groups that come in and ask for something. What we're trying to do these days is deepen our connection with social services, the senior center, and our village housing for the elderly. And that's been a challenge because communication is key. And A, our senior center employees are not full-time, and they're so it sometimes can be hard to connect. But a lot of the people who attend senior center events or are residents of the Village Housing for the Elderly, they're not always on either social media or any sort of electronic communication. So, you know, you're rather than just sending out these blast emails of these fabulous programs, you often have to literally walk down there and knock on doors and say, hey, we're doing these things. And then they're happy to hear it. But, you know, the publicity we've all gotten, not all of us, but obviously the, you know, most people communicate with quick electronic communications now, and then to have to shift gears and come up with other older ways of communicating to make sure that we're really reaching everybody, that it can be a challenge, but we're working on it. We're working on it, and it's a priority for sure.
Those all sound like great examples.
Well, don't you think I've discovered through these conversations, like, we're all trying to do the same things.
Yes.
And we all kind of come at it in our own way for, you know, maybe because of the way our town works, or maybe just because that's the way it's always done, always been done in our town. And then when you get an opportunity to talk to someone else who's solving the same problem differently, you really do learn.
And it's a good reminder, like, but we, even like you said, even though we do stuff in different areas, a lot of the stuff that we're working on is really so similar. Like you said, your carnival, nonprofit carnival, we just did our fourth annual volunteer fair this past Saturday.
Yeah.
And it's very similar where we get local organizations that are looking for volunteers, especially with like the upcoming summer months. And they come out and they table and they talk to people, and exactly what you said, they connect with each other, which
exactly.
I think is so important.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're doing the same stuff.
That's neat. One thing that's been interesting is getting involved in town committees.
Yeah.
And you know, that can be a challenge for me because I'm, you know, busy trying to run the library, but those are also important partnerships, but they're broader than the town. I'm on the town broadband committee that's talking about, in you know, improving our all of our residents' access to broadband internet. And then the other committee that I'm on for the town is the It's not the sesquicentennial. It's the whatever it is where we're turning 250. Yeah. So I'm on the Kent 250 committee, which is connected to the Connecticut 250 and then the federal 250. So all of these events that are going to celebrate our 250th anniversary,
yes.
You know, we're trying to coordinate, again, across all these different organizations, the Historical Society, Park and Rec, the Senior Center, the Daughters of the American Revolution, the American Legion, all these different groups who care about working on some sort of way to commemorate this important part of our national history. That's been really interesting, too, to make sure that the library is really ingrained in all of those conversations because, you know, again, we serve as a hub. We have good hours. We're open all the time. I'm always sort of standing at my desk, and, you know, we have a pretty constant flow of people coming in and out of the office. So that's been interesting, too, that sometimes they come to you and sometimes you have to actually go out and join the committee and go to the dang meetings and all that stuff. More meetings. But that's the way you stay connected.
Yeah, and I think you highlight something that I think libraries just do really, really well generally across the board from what I've seen is connecting people.
Yeah.
Whether it's through these organizations or through these efforts or just like somebody comes in and is like, hey, do you know who does this? And you're like, yes, I do.
Right.
From like all those different levels, I feel like that's something that we do really well, and it sounds like you do too. And
yeah.
I think that's such a cool thing.
Well, at the risk of making a plug for my project, you know, we are expanding the library. We hope to be breaking ground this year. Yeah, it's exciting. It's been a lot of work, but one of our little taglines is more space for more people. That it's not, you know, libraries aren't dusty, fusty old stacks of books with you know, shushing people. We are community centers, and we are places that connect. And they connect people to ideas, and they connect people to learning, but they also connect people to each other.
I think that's a beautiful way for us to end.
Oh, yeah, me too.
You just wrapped that up so nicely.
Well, I've been writing a lot of these little blurbs, so I'm getting pretty good at it. All right, it's always nice to talk to you, Courtney.
All right, you too. Good luck with all your partnerships.
Oh, and you too. And you too. I'm sure we'll talk again in another month. I don't even know what we're going to talk about, but it's probably going to be good.
I hope so.
Okay.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.